What would it be like if you had 1,000 times more joy at your house? Wouldn't that be something wonderful? Well, since the beginning of the year, our theme verse, I thought it was just for one day, but it's turned out to be our theme for the entire year, obviously. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 1. You know the story. We start like this every Sunday almost. At the end of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, now at the border, able to see into the promised land, God gathered his people together and said a couple of things. In Deuteronomy 1 and verse 10, he said, first of all, these 40 years you've not lacked anything. Right here, right now, where you are, you're already blessed. Why don't you say that with me? I'm already blessed. And then in verse 11, God said, but may the God of your ancestors multiply you, bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised. So as blessed as we are, already blessed, the will of God for us this year is we step into that next level of being 1,000 times more blessed. 1,000 times more joy, 1,000 times more peace ruling and reigning in your life and in your home, 1,000 times more of the favor of God and the favor of man following, 1,000 times better quality of life all across the board. God can take us there, 1,000 times more blessed. Now, sometime during this year, somebody's going to get it and say, it's me, I'm 1,000 times more blessed. And before you say that, first of all, you have to realize I'm tired of living a substandard life. God has more for me. Do you know why we settle for less? Because we can live with less. Do you know why things are the way they are in large part in your life and mine? Because we're willing to live like this. And yet God has something better for us. Somebody's going to reach the place to where you're no longer satisfied with settling. And you're going to step into the 1,000 times more blessing. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about the blessing. And specifically, I want to talk today for just a few minutes about the blessing is better than a miracle. That's the kind of blessing I'm talking about. Now, I'm a miracle man. I believe in miracles. I've had my share of miracles. In fact, I told the Lord long ago, I've had enough miracles. If he never performs another miracle for the rest of my life, he's done enough for me to believe forever he can work miracles. There have been times I've needed a miracle, and I've been grateful to receive it. God is a God of miracles, and I'm standing here today, and so are you, because of a miracle, and in many times, more than one. But when it comes to miracles, there are some things that are not quite as good as the blessing. And today, the blessing is better than a miracle. Consider the miracle of manna. You can read about it in Exodus chapter 16 later. But God's people were in a crisis. There was no water, there was no food, they were in the desert, they were 3 million strong in number. There was no drive-thru at McDonald's. They were hungry, bellies growling, babies crying, starving to death. They were in a crisis. And God gave the miracle of manna. And in this miracle, food would fall from heaven every morning, enough for that day. He miraculously supplied the need, and he did it every day for 40 years. It was a miracle. In fact, it's the longest miracle recorded in Scripture. There are many miracles. Others come to mind immediately, I'm sure to your mind as well. But Hezekiah was sick and dying, and God gave him a healing miracle. But it only lasted 15 years. God can heal you of a terminal disease, and yet you will not be immortal. Your appointment with death will still surely come, even after a healing miracle. Miracles don't last forever. And in this case, the miracle of the manna lasted 40 years. But then look, in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35, we read, "So the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they arrived at the land where they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan." Every day for 40 years they ate manna. And they ate it every day. It was a miraculous provision of God every day. Until, here, miracles are good. Miracles can get you from where you are to the promise of God. And they enjoyed the miracle of manna every day until they got to the border of the promise. And then something happened. God stopped the manna. And his people began eating from the crops in the promised land. The miracle was the manna. But the blessing was the abundance they enjoyed in the promised land. And the blessing God has for us is better than a miracle. Everybody say, the blessing. Say it again, the blessing. One more time. Get used to that word. Make it an active part of your vernacular. Speak a blessing over your own life every day. In the morning, do what I do. I say Psalms 68:19, "Blessed be the God who loads me down again today with the many benefits of his salvation." I speak that over my family, my children, and my grandchildren. Father, thank you for loading my grandbabies down today again. Loaded down with the many benefits of your salvation. The blessing is God's best. There's nothing wrong with a miracle. Thank God when we need it, he can give us one. But the blessing the Lord has for us is better than a miracle. Manna was the miracle, but the blessing was the abundance of the crops in the promised land God gave them. Nothing wrong with the miracles, but the blessing is better. I remember my pastor, our bishop, Houston Miles, who is 88 today. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago right before Irma came through his hometown of Sarasota, Florida, where he and Miss Evelyn live now. I called to check on him as the wind started blowing. I said, "Are you and Miss Evelyn there in Florida?" "Yeah, Carl, we are. We decided we're just going to ride it out. We're just going to believe that God's going to take care of us." And he did. But I remember Bishop Miles sharing his testimony that when he was a young man, about 20 years old, he had an old car. It was the best he could afford. So many miles on the car. He was just starting out in life and just starting out in ministry and not much abundance in his life at all. And he tells the story of one day the transmission in his car broke. That's a big deal. Transmission broke and he didn't have any money. And he didn't know any better. His testimony is this, and that pure, sweet, humble man, you know him. He's ministered here 13 times in 31 years. He kept count. I didn't. He's reminded me. What a blessing that man is. And he said, "My transmission broke," and he said, "I had no other option." He said, I put my hand on the car, and I prayed, and I asked the Lord to please fix my transmission. And he said, the Lord did. Now, I know some of you are squirrely or think I am right now. Some of you are thinking about the bishop. My God, what kind of crazy man would pray for a car transmission? And he said, but I had no other choice. God gave me a miracle. He fixed my transmission, and that car lasted me a good while longer. He said, but now look. He said, but now. That was a miracle. He said, but now, if my transmission were to break, I will take it to the garage and pay a mechanic to fix it. He said, because now God has blessed me with the money to do that. And he said, either way, God has met my need. Either way. There was a time Brenda and I were in crisis more than one. More than once have we been in crisis. But a few decades ago, we were broke, didn't have money for anything. And we were counting coins and hours before the electricity would be cut off, maybe. And praying for a miracle. And that very day, a check came in the mail to us. We were not expecting it. We had not asked for it. Nobody had told us it was coming. But it was from the state of California. They mailed us a check for $700. And we cashed it. Instantly. We were in crisis and we needed a miracle, and God gave it to us. Nothing wrong with a miracle, but the blessing of God is even better than that. In fact, we have so many miracles, it's easy for me to question God at this point, just in light conversation. God, I remember when we used to get a miracle every week, and it seems like we don't get as many anymore. And in my mind, that conversation would play out like this. God would answer and say, well, yeah, would you like to go back to those days? And I would immediately say, no, sir. No, sir. Thank you that the blessing of God on my life is greater than the miracle. Now, if you're going to live from miracle to miracle, and you can, and when you need to, God is there for you. But if you're going to live from miracle to miracle, you're going to be living from crisis to crisis. And God has a better way for His people. He gathered them together and said, you've never lacked a thing. Already you're blessed right here, right now, just like you are. You're blessed already, but may you be 1,000 times more blessed than this, according to the promise of God for you. Now, if we would learn how to walk in the blessings, we wouldn't need as many miracles. A miracle is only temporary. It never will be the permanent norm for you. Check them out in the Bible. Even when God raised the dead back to life, that person eventually died again for good. Even when God performed a healing miracle, the person still eventually died. It was not permanent. Even in the miracle of the manna, which is the longest miracle recorded in the Bible, 40 years every day. It was temporary, meaning God would send the manna in the morning and there was enough for just that day. If they tried to hoard it, if they were greedy with it, if they wanted to steal from somebody else so that they could bankroll manna for themselves, it stank the next morning. There was a shelf life on the manna. And a miracle is only temporary. A miracle is enough to jumpstart you and get you from where you are out of crisis into the full blessing of the Lord, which He has waiting for you. A miracle is only temporary. And then a miracle is never an abundance. It's enough. Oh, it's life-saving many times. But it's not all you will need for the rest of your life, usually. And here again, manna is the model for that. It was not an abundance. God sent everybody enough for one day. And then tomorrow morning, He did it again. There was not a year's supply when all they needed was one day right now. So a miracle is only temporary, and a miracle is never an abundance. Now in the wilderness, those 40 years of wandering through the wilderness under the leadership of Moses, The older generation had died. There were a couple of notable exceptions. Joshua and Caleb lived throughout the 40 years. They were among the very few of the older generation that survived the 40 years and was able to cross over the border into the promises of God. But for the most part, the older generation had died, and the majority of the children of Israel that stepped into the promised land were born and grew up during those 40 years in the wilderness. Now, they were born and raised eating manna. That's all they had ever known. They had lived by miracles. So, the day that the manna ceased, some of them were out in the yard the next morning looking for the manna, because it had been a miracle every day of their life for most of them. And they wake up hungry and they go out and do the same thing they've done all of their young lives, and that is depend on a miracle again today, waiting for God to send a day's supply of manna again. But they are outside looking around and there is no manna on the ground. Now, the abundance of the promised land was so much better than that little bit of manna. There was the day when the miracle stopped, when the manna ceased, and God said, lift up your eyes. You see those crops right there? Look at the size of those grapes. Now, you're going to cross in. These past 40 years, I've fought your enemy for you. You're going to know what it is now to be a conqueror, your own self, with my help. Instead of me defeating your enemy, now you're going to taste victory and learn how to conquer your enemies in this land. And you're going to enjoy the cities you did not build. Your enemy built them, but they belong to you now. You're in the promised land. Don't depend on the miracles every day like I've given you for 40 years. You don't need it anymore. This is a land of blessing. It's abundant provision. All you need and more is right here for you now. Now, why is a crisis mode still the norm for many? And the blessing is so elusive for many of God's people? One answer comes in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8. It says, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and on everything you set your hand to do. The blessing of the Lord will be on everything you set your hand to do. The problem, if you have one, may be that you're not setting your hand to do enough. The promise of God is if you'll set your hand to something, he'll bless it. If you're struggling with lack in any area of your life in this new covenant, which it's a better one, and it's an everlasting one, it could be this principle right here, that you're not setting your hand to do enough. There are some people who have no job, and they will not accept a job for minimum wage. They're holding out. And so they struggle financially because they don't have a job, no resource. And they refuse to take a job for minimum wage. And the truth is, God cannot bless them as much when they're not setting their hand to anything. Go ahead and take that minimum job wage, because God at least will have something to bless when you set your hand to that thing. If you set your hand to nothing, there is no blessing for you. If you set your hand to something, God promised he will bless whatever you set your hand to. We talked a few weeks ago about this principle, obvious in Isaac's life. Isaac, the son of Abraham, the father of our faith. We talked about God blessing Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, It said this about the blessing of God on Isaac. When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. We talked right then, 100-fold blessing. Even in the Old Testament, 100-fold blessing. And in the covenant, God's best for us, there's 1,000 times more blessing. We're pressing in this year for it. And Isaac, even millennia ago, planted a little bit and harvested 100 times more. Why? Because he set his hand to something. And God said, I will bless what you set your hand to. So if you're struggling with chronic, long-term lack of provision in your life, look at your hand. See what's in it. See what you can do with your hand. And set your hand to something and expect God to bless it. Even for Isaac, it was 100 times more. Whatever he set his hand to, God said, I will bless it. Now, I'm ready to teach a little math. Didn't you hate algebra? In calculus, really. I just didn't even like math. I don't even know why they teach students anymore. I'm not finished yet. How to do the times table. What they ought to do now is teach them how to work a calculator, and that's it. 9 times 12, you know, just use a little calculator. But I've got to teach a little math right here. God intended to bless Isaac with 100 times more. But if Isaac had not set his hand to do something for God to bless, here's the math lesson. 100 times 0 is 0. I feel so elementary. If Isaac had not planted a seed, he wouldn't have gotten 100. Well, he would have. He'd have got 100 times more. Hey, Isaac would have got 100 times nothing, which is nothing. But he set his hand. His hands were busy. He set his hand to something, and God said, I'm going to bless that 100 times in the same year. But if you don't set your hand to something, you'll be in crisis mode chronically. And you'll be depending on miracles as a lifestyle. And God is a miracle worker, but he has a higher level for his people. Eventually, we should get to the place to where the blessing of God on our life is better than a miracle when we're in a crisis. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and I'm going to wrap it up because I feel like you're getting it this morning. Some of you get more than others. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There, I want you to notice the tense. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Everybody say, I'm already blessed. Why do we keep asking God to do for us what he's already done? It did not say, blessed be the God who will bless us, who might bless us. But he said, blessed be the God who already has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So if in your prayer life you're trying your best to convince God to bless you, we need to stop that. And in our prayer life, we need to ask God, teach me how to receive. Lord, here I am again, and I need a blessing. But I'm not here to convince you to give me a blessing. I'm here to ask you to teach me how to receive what you've already given. The blessing is better than a miracle. The Message translation says in Ephesians 1:3, He takes us to the high places of blessing in Christ. That position is already ours. We're right there with Him now. And then later on down that same chapter, Ephesians 1 verses 17 and on, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Listen to this next verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The Message translation says, your eyes focused and clear so that you can grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life He has for His followers. The blessing, better than a miracle. Your eyes focused and clear. Your understanding and knowledge of what God has for us is open and enlightened. We are able to grasp the enormity, the immensity of the greatness of this way of life that He has given to those of us who follow Him. That's already done. He doesn't need to do anything else. The only thing that needs to happen is our understanding being enlightened as to what He's already blessed us with. The Amplified Bible says that you will be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He has called you. Now, in my home, probably in yours too, watch a little television every now and then. Well, I'm just saying I do. Every now and then. You know what it's like to be in the middle of a program? You're fascinated. You're engrossed. The plot has absorbed you. You just can't wait to see the next subplot and what's going to happen. And the television goes blank. I mean, just a blank screen. That's happened to me. What I don't do is grab the phone real quick and call the TV station and ask them why they have quit transmitting. I never think to do that. What I do is I say, oh my God, my TV's broke maybe, or maybe the cord on the back of the TV with the cable box is loose. I might need to plug it in again. I'll wiggle it and jiggle it. I can only wiggle and jiggle. I'm not good for much. If it requires more than a wiggle or a jiggle, I'm calling a tech fellow out. Or I think this, maybe the cat walked by the wall and unplugged the wire from the receptacle, but maybe I'm going to check that. And because when my TV set goes blank, it's never a problem with the station broadcasting. It's always a problem with my TV set receiving. And that's the way it is spiritually. God never stops speaking. He never stops giving. It's always us who have the problem in receiving. And according to Ephesians, it's already done. Oh, Lord, help me to see and understand what you've already done. Oh, God, if I could just understand the blessing you've already prepared for me, I would never try to convince you to do much for me. It's already done. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, I'm going to close with this analogy. If you were to write a prayer today for believers 2,000 years from now, starting your written prayer, you're going to pray for Christians in the 41st century. 2,000 years from now, we have no concept of what life would be like, if the earth will even be existent. Rocket Man may pull a trigger before then. If so, we're out of here. But let's assume the world's going to survive the next 2,000 years, and you were to write a prayer for believers in the 41st century. What prayer would you pray for them 2,000 years from now? Well, probably it would be something. Oh God, send revival to your people in the 41st century. Oh, I pray for a move of God among your people in the year 4017. Oh God, would you move on the earth and among your people 2,000 years from now? That's how we would probably pray for believers who will live 2,000 years in the future. But here in Ephesians 1, we're reading a prayer Paul prayed 2,000 years ago for those of us who are alive today. And he did not pray, oh God, send the believers in the 21st century a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, even though we could use it. He did not pray, God, send revival in the year 2017 to your followers who will be on the earth serving you in that generation. No. Here's how Paul prayed for us 2,000 years ago. He said, God, open their eyes so that they can see what you've already done. How about that? So the blessing is better than a miracle. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.